Grant Cardone, probably the most famous or one of the most famous money makers and money trainers on the planet. Thanks so much for being on the show, man.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me. Appreciate what you're doing on YouTube. I know how hard it is to build an audience and deliver great content. So thanks. Well done.
Thank you. I appreciate that. One of the things I really wanted to ask you was, I know you're a real estate guy.
Yeah.
And you also are a sales guy. And I teach property.
Uh-huh.
And I think that sales is just such an important skill. So I just wanted to ask you about, why is sales such an important skill to learn, and what would your advice be to someone that...
So I think a lot of people think that I'm just naturally a salesperson, but I actually hated sales. I started in sales when I was 16, 17 years old and hated it.
Yeah.
Didn't actually learn how to do it until I was 20, I guess I was 25. So lost my first 5 or 6 jobs in sales. Didn't really know how to connect with people, didn't know how to control a selling situation. Nobody taught me any of this, so why would I be good at it, right? So I just thought, because I was no good at it, then it wasn't for me.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like, if you give me a guitar, right? I'm like, shit, I'm no good at it. I don't know how to play a guitar or a violin, so I must not, but I'd have to learn how to do it. And so all I can tell people is that sales saved my life. Like, literally, like, I had a drug problem from 16 years old to 25. When I got out of the treatment center for drug addiction, the only job I could get was a sales job. I threw myself completely into that job. I learned it, studied it. Like, all the time and energy I wasted in drugs, I threw it into, like, I'm going to learn this. Like, it became my new drug.
Yeah.
And it not because it was, like, it wasn't like a drug, it's a bad analogy, but I needed something to throw myself into, and I also needed money because I was broke. So I found a good product. The company hired me. I sold the product. I learned how to sell, and I fell in love with it. And today I'm known as, you know, I've written multiple books on sales. I've made other companies billions and billions of dollars without exaggeration. Like, I'm not used. I never dropped the B word lightly because I respect it. But I've affected hundreds of billions of dollars of sales for some of the biggest companies in the world. And surprisingly enough, because you brought up the real estate,
yeah,
the real estate game that I play today, we're buying real estate. I'm not a seller of any of our real estate. I buy real estate. Buying real estate in America is a sales game. Okay, the kind of real estate that I'm buying, I'm trying to buy real estate that he's not going to be competing on this real estate deal. My competition is going to be Goldman Sachs,
yep,
Blackstone. It's not like real estate here where there's 3 guys, a dentist, a chiropractor, a business guy in town. They're buying maybe a flat or two. You know, my competition is the wealthiest people on the planet. Not people, companies. And so these are all extremely, extremely smart, bright, sophisticated people. So my deal, thanks, Ron, appreciate it. Or I'm buying a jet for $50 million. Dude, when I'm buying a jet, I got to negotiate the jet.
Yeah, yeah. And I know the story of how you did that.
I got to negotiate with the pilots.
Yeah, you got it so fast, you were like the fastest jet buyer in the world, probably.
Yeah, I think I should get credit for the fastest jet buyer in the world. That would be awesome. Sales really is about getting what you want. I called Gulfstream 2 Christmases ago and said, I need a jet. We don't have one. And then suddenly they delivered one.
Yeah.
How did they find something they said they didn't have?
But do you learn the skill of making fast decisions? Or is that something that you feel that you're born with? Because that's something that you make such fast decisions.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, is that something you can learn?
You better learn it.
Yeah.
You better learn how to make fast decisions, because the town of maybe goes nowhere.
Yeah.
So all of you out there that have agreements to slow down, talk to your wife about it, talk to your husband about it, talk to the accountant. By the time you're talked to 2 or 3 people, I've already bought the deal.
Yes, exactly.
You're not moving fast enough. And you're not moving fast enough because you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You're not being careful. You don't know what you're doing. So the fastest way to reduce risk is to know what you're doing. For instance, this week we put 4 pieces of property under contract in the last 3 days that I've been here without being there.
That's incredible.
Now, how do I buy a $67 million deal, $57 million deal, $55 million deal, and a $68 million deal? 4 deals, it'll be worth about $300 million. How do I buy those from here? Call the guy up on the phone. I'll pay this much more than you want.
Yeah.
And he's like, huh, I'll pay that much more. I'll give you 250 grand, non-refundable, the day they, when they execute this piece, this letter.
Yeah.
I still have a bunch of due diligence I have to do, but either way, you keep the 250. When you present like that, you close deals. Now, I'm not being reckless, so I need to know something. The only way to move fast is to know something. I'll give you an analogy of driving a car, right? You're going someplace where you've been before. You've been there 1,000 times. Mm. You can go fast, right? You know where you're going.
Yeah.
You don't need a global map. You don't need a GPS.
I saw a video that you did, actually, buying real estate.
Uh-huh.
And you were driving around the area, finding tenants and saying, how much rent do you pay?
And
really getting your hands dirty, doing the due diligence.
Yeah.
Talk to me a bit about that. Surely you don't do that.
That's about knowing where you are, right?
Yeah.
So when we drove out to this estate, I don't know where I am, dude.
Yeah.
Like I had a GPS, I had a map, I had a guy in the back telling me something. We still didn't know for sure. So everybody's in mystery. When you're in mystery, you slow down. So the way to get out of mystery is you gotta do the work.
Yeah.
Right? And the video that you saw us, we were in Houston, Texas, I think that was the video. We looked at 5,000 apartments in 3 days. 5,000 apartments. It represented 15 properties. I drive on the property. We're making right turns the entire time.
Mm.
We violate every property. Okay, it doesn't matter if they got a gate or not. We're going to get in. I don't need a password. I don't need permission. I will violate the property. And so they can let me in. I'm coming in. Either way, we're getting in. And so what I'm doing is I'm shopping that property. I'm going to talk to some tenants. I'm gonna collect data. I'm not gonna buy that property, but I'm collecting data. I might not even buy in that market, but I still want to collect the data.
Yeah.
So you gotta to move fast. You don't need a spreadsheet. Mm. Spreadsheets are for people that don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
You need the data in your mind so that when you drive on that one piece of property, you're like, dude, this is the one I want.
Yeah.
The four pieces of property that we put under contract this week, to get those four, I've looked at 400.
Wow.
So that I can be like, I want that piece of property.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to overpay to get that piece of property.
There's almost like a balance somewhere, because some people, we call them motivated idiots, where they're like, oh my gosh, property's great. And they go out and they'll buy blind and they're really on fire, but they're not educated.
Uh-huh,
but then
uh-huh.
another extreme,
how many people do you know like that? Most people are not hurrying into a purchase. They're taking too long to ever make one.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would, yeah.
Yeah.
But because the other extreme is thinking I need to cross all the I's and all the T's.
I got to check it with my lawyer. I got to check it with this person. If the lawyer knew anything about real estate, he'd own it. I got to check with the broker. The brokers don't even own the real estate.
That's interesting. Yeah.
The brokers don't own real estate.
What
do you think? Is it a good deal? Yeah, it's a good deal. Why didn't you buy it? You got the listing on it.
Yeah.
Like you could buy the thing and you're not. Why not?
So do you think people's problem then is that they just don't take action? And
No. I think what happens is they don't take action. Why? You know, I did an event here, I guess a year ago with Nick James.
Yeah. I know Nick well.
Yeah. And I said, hey, who's in real estate here? Everybody in the place raised their hand. I said, well, how many of you have cash in the bank? And everybody in the room raised your hand. I said, well, you guys don't love real estate. Because if you love real estate, if you know real estate the way I know it, you wouldn't have any cash in the bank.
Mm.
You'd have all your cash in real estate. People aren't sure.
Yeah.
They're speculating, dude.
Yeah.
So when we buy a piece of property, I mean, I could sit here with you for 3 hours and just talk about real estate. So, because there's nothing I love more than real estate. Probably not even, like if you said, hey, real estate or your youngest child, I'd probably be like, dang. I think I'm going to take the shit to the last. Because I know she's going to leave me.
Yeah.
That real estate will never leave me. You know, this property that we're on has been in this family over 1,000 years.
Mm.
5,000 acres. Over 1,000.
Beautiful place.
Pfft, come on, man. This is the thing that will last longer than Facebook.
What do you love more, property or sales?
Oh, property.
Really, more than sales?
Oh, 1,000,000 times more than sales.
Why?
Because, man, like, it's real.
Yeah.
You know, sales is like, nobody likes sales. Sales is something you have to have, though, if you want to get the deal.
Yeah.
So when I'm buying a piece of real estate, I have to sell the guy.
Yeah.
I have to sell, convince him. I got to convince the bank to give me a loan.
Yeah.
If I'm raising money, I got to convince people to support me and back it with their money.
Yeah.
So And I got to sell myself that it's the right thing to do. Now, my advantage is I'm buying properties that when I buy them, they start producing cash.
Yeah.
So it's like I'm buying the golden goose. I already know it makes gold.
I've got a question for you. Yeah. I know the US and the UK are a little bit different.
Yeah.
I did a challenge last year where I started all over again from scratch and documented my journey of starting again, building up my property portfolio again. And it went viral on YouTube. If you were doing the same challenge where you're starting again, because I know you buy a lot of big stuff, high entry barriers.
Yeah.
If you're starting all over again and you had nothing, what would be your strategy?
I'd buy exactly what I'm buying today.
Would you?
Yeah, for sure.
And how would you?
Because the stuff that I'm buying today is guaranteed to be there tomorrow. It's guaranteed to produce cash flow.
Yeah.
It's guaranteed to have a buyer in 10 years.
And what kind of stuff are you buying right now?
See the stuff that's cheap, okay, I have to sell it to somebody that's cheap.
Interesting.
And the people that are cheap are always dependent upon the economy. I'm selling to people that don't depend on the economy. They don't care if there's a Brexit.
Yeah. Dude,
Barclays does not care if there's a Brexit, an exit, they don't care. They don't care if it's a prime minister or a king.
Just for anyone that doesn't know, what's your portfolio consist of? What is it that you invest in?
Well, we're buying $80 million complexes, $70 million.
Yeah.
These are great locations, lots of jobs around it.
Yeah.
And there are properties. When I buy a property, I already know who I'm going to sell it to. I know when I buy it that I know there's three or four targets that'll be buyers. It'll be a life insurance company. Mm. They're never out of money. They buy in every cycle, up, down. They always have money, dude. They sell life insurance. They get premiums for the life insurance. And then they have to distribute the death benefits when the person dies. And the way they do that is they back it by the kind of real estate that I'm buying.
Yeah.
Okay. That's how they pay out the life insurance.
Yeah.
So I'm buying stuff that, and this is a piece that, of real estate calculation that most people never do, right? Robert Kiyosaki didn't do this. Like, who's the exit? Who's the target you're selling to? And we know when I'm buying something, I'm like, oh, I know who's going to be the buyer. Goldman Sachs is going to be the buyer, Blackstone, Barclays, big life insurance companies. So I always know I have a seller, a buyer, so that I can make money.
Yeah. So you've found your niche. You've done it really well.
If I was broke, I didn't have any money.
That's what I was going to ask.
And if I didn't have any credit, let's say I ruined my credit.
Yeah.
Did I ruin my reputation too?
No.
Okay, good. So my reputation's intact. My credit's no good, and I don't have any money. I would raise money to buy the kind of stuff that I'm buying right now.
But the crazy thing is, I mean, you have Cardone Capital, which is a fantastic service for people that don't necessarily have the knowledge but want to get a return. Some people don't understand why, when you've got money and you're, you know, a millionaire or multimillionaire, why would you still take other people's money and invest that into property? So what would you say to that? Why would you borrow someone else's money when you've got money yourself?
Because I'm already borrowing somebody else's money. Like, I'm already using a bank.
Yeah.
So rather than making the bank rich, I'm going to make other people rich.
Yeah.
The bank clearly likes lending me money.
Yeah.
So they've lent me about $600 million. So they like lending me money, and they like being paid back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they love the kind of real estate that backs the loan.
Yeah.
So rather than making Goldman Sachs richer or Barclays richer, I'm like, hey, why don't I make the 7 billion people on this planet, of which 10 million of them know my name and love me and follow me?
Sure.
Why don't I tell the 10 million, this never existed before. 3 years ago, I could not go on Facebook and say, I have a deal and you can fund it with me. We can partner together.
Why could you not do that?
Because, dude, one, the laws didn't allow me to.
Right. Okay.
And 5 years ago, social media didn't exist.
Yeah, okay.
There was no way for me to go have my own TV channel.
But we're in such an opportunity now, though, on so many levels, for people to be able to get into business, entrepreneurship, because of things like social media, the way the economy is. So,
but you understand, like legally in America anyway, and I think the same thing's true here.
Yeah.
Legally in America, and I'm not confined to America. We have money coming in from India, South America, Russia, England.
Yeah.
So I can go online today. I can go do a live LinkedIn or YouTube or Facebook or Instagram. Like it's not even one TV channel. I could have seven TV channels and go out and say, hey guys, here's the property I'm buying. This is the debt. This is the income. We'll partner on it. I'm going to give you your share. I'm going to keep this little piece over here for me because I did the deal. Do you want in or not?
Infinite return.
Okay. And how many people are in the world that don't have the time to buy real estate, don't have the credit, don't have the money, but they can come in for $10,000 or $100,000. Now, why would I do that? Because I can build a much bigger portfolio.
Yes.
And the reason I want to build a bigger portfolio is because the bigger this thing gets, whales want to eat, like, you know, I'm going for a whale kill here. So I want to build a big portfolio worth 10 or 15 or 20 billion that I can take to one of these big banks and say, how would you like to have the whole thing at one time?
Yeah, that's great. I love the model. Let me ask you a question. You're great at making money. And you're also great at teaching other people how to make money. Besides that, what do you want to be remembered for?
If I'd love to be remembered for somebody that helped people, you know, that somehow inspired people to think different. If my kids run into you, you know, years from now and say, you know, I'm not around anymore. Hey, man, I like the time that I spent with your dad. He was an authentic guy. He was transparent. I mean, nobody's going to remember me because I bought a bunch of real estate.
Yeah.
Maybe some real estate kid. But everybody else is going to say, hey, that guy helped me on YouTube. Well, I mean, my accountant told me the other day, he's like, why are you spending all this time on this other stuff? Why don't you spend 100% of your time buying real estate? Yeah. There's so much money to be made in this space. We're talking billions of dollars, not tens of millions, billions and billions of dollars. And so he's like, why do you spend all this time helping people? Why do you spend time doing podcasts? You know, and I'm like, because it helps people, man.
Yeah.
When I was 16 years old, I wanted somebody desperately to help me. I wanted somebody like you to take time with a kid like me. Mm. And there was nobody taking time with
me. Rich people hide.
Rich people hide, man.
Tell me what that means.
Rich people hide, man. Y'all know it here in England better than anybody because of the class thing.
Yeah.
You know, nobody gets to look behind the, you know, behind what does the queen really do over there?
No one knows.
You know, what do they do other than what they show us? I want to know what's really going on. I remember I watched a friend of mine I spent some time with. He had sold a company. He was worth $4 billion. He cashed out. He had $4.4 billion. And I said, look, man, I need one thing from you. He's like, what do you need, man? I'll do anything for you. I said, I just want to see the money. And he's like, what do you mean? I said, I want to see your accounts.
Yeah.
I want to see the Fidelity account. I want to see the cash account. I want to see your checking account. He's like, yeah, sure, man. He opened it up, man. And I'm sitting there, dude. I was freaked out. I was like, I had never seen that many numbers, that many zeros. One account had $411 million in cash. I had to read it over and over again because it was one account. Like, I'm like, $411 million. That inspired me.
Yeah.
Some people resent that. They're like, he's got too much. It didn't do that to me. It inspired me to say, man, dude, how much good is that guy going to do? That guy has given away $100 million in a weekend.
Wow.
To causes.
Yeah.
So that just was very inspirational to me. So, hey, I hope people remember that I helped a lot of people, man.
Yeah.
Part of our world tour is going around meeting people.
Yeah. What's your, how's the jet, by the way?
It's great. It's great.
What's your vision then now? I notice now you've got your jet, you're flying all over the world. What's the reason that you get up in the morning?
Because I want to find the next part of me, man. I want to find, you know, I want to stay excited about what I can possibly pull off.
One of the things I love about you is you just say it exactly as it is. You know, you just speak totally to the point, which is really helpful. Congratulations on hitting 1 million subs on YouTube.
Yeah, thanks.
Pretty recently. Thanks. That's mega.
So hard to do that.
Yeah. Mega though, right?
Because, I mean, I when we started that YouTube channel, I guess that was 11 years ago, I didn't know how to do the channel. How old are you?
28.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm twice your age. And we started a channel and just started dropping content. I didn't know I was supposed to ask for subscribers. I didn't know how to tag.
Yeah.
I don't know how to title stuff. So we've just botched it for 11 years. But, you know, the beautiful thing about YouTube is that it just lives on, you know?
I love YouTube.
It's my favorite.
I love YouTube.
Without a doubt.
Is that your favorite platform on social media? Totally. That's awesome.
It's been the most dependable for me. Like, I get more traffic from YouTube than Facebook and Instagram collab.
It's interesting that when I asked you if you're starting all over again, you said, do I still have my reputation?
Yeah.
It's so important, reputation. People ask me why I do YouTube, and of course it's the same as you, it's because I want to help people. But also...
Dude, if I went broke, I would be more popular.
Because people know who you are.
I would be more popular.
Why would you be more popular?
Because I'd go on and say, hey man, I fucked up.
Yeah.
Check this out, I fucked up, I lost everything.
Yeah.
Okay, let me tell you what I learned from it, and everybody would love me. I would have more likes.
People are afraid to fail, aren't they?
Yeah.
People think if they fail, then because in school we're told mistakes are bad.
Yeah, you're in the game though. You got to be in the game, and if you're willing to share, the problem with social media is, it's okay to share the losses. It's not okay. It's like people are not happy when I do big. Yeah. They're not terribly like.
When you bought your jet, I bet you got hate on that.
Oh, totally. They're like, I had a family tell me they own 7 jets. And they told my wife, the wife of the rich dude told my wife, you know, we looked you up online, didn't know who you were, and we saw you guys in the jet. That's really surprising to us that you show yourself on the jet. I'm like, what am I supposed to hide that picture? Like people wouldn't take, they don't take pictures on their trips. Yeah. So we just happened to do a video. The jet was in the shot.
Yeah.
If I was getting off of a British Airways, so I can put that in, but I can't put this in. You guys got 7 jets. You don't show them to people. At the same time, she's got a brooch on. It's a carriage. It's like that big.
Yeah.
It had to be $1 million.
Right.
And she's wearing it around showing it to her friends, right?
Yeah.
So it's good enough for her friends, but not good enough for the public. And my promise to the people that follow me is, if I ever make it, I am not going to hide.
Yeah.
I'm going to say.
Oh, I love that so much.
You know, this is my life, dude.
And you show what you're buying and what you're doing. And it's great to see.
And we were leaving Thailand, or we were trying to get into Thailand.
I saw that, yeah.
I didn't know that we needed to call Thailand and say we're coming in to get a 7-day permit. I didn't know that. So we couldn't fly the plane in. So we had to get, we got on a commercial flight. Oh, woe is me. So the whole family had to get on a commercial flight.
Yeah.
We were in the back row. I showed that too. So, here's a guy with a jet paid for, and I can't even use it. So. You know, all that glitters is not gold.
Yeah, absolutely. What advice would you give to someone then that was just starting out in their entrepreneurial journey, whether that be real estate? What best advice would you give someone?
Everybody wants that one best piece, man. You could think bigger than you think.
Yeah. Grant, I'm really grateful to having you on. It's great to get to know you a little bit. I'm coming down to the States in July. I'm coming on one of your training programs.
Oh, good.
Booked to have dinner and stuff like that.
Good,
so,
man.
Look forward to that.
Can't wait to get to know you better, man.
Thank you so much, Grant.
Really thanks for what you're doing.
Cheers, thank you.